Welcome to Blockchain Enterprises Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Kryptos. The aim of this podcast is to show you how anyone can start a business, find their dream job, or develop a revenue stream in the emerging blockchain industry. Most, if not all of our guests, started with an idea, a few hundred dollars, and a Twitter account. Before we meet today's guest, here's a word from our sponsor. BitCash combines the power of blockchain technology and traditional banking features with the goal of being the most usable cryptocurrency in the world. BitCash hopes to tackle mass adoption by creating easy-to-use, familiar tools for any and everyone. Major features from crypto such as privacy, decentralization, low rates, and speed are united with banking features like transaction logs, account names, electronic statements, and accounting software to help make BitCash a great alternative to Bitcoin and other currencies. BitCash focuses on creating features that fall in four main areas: usability, stability, simplicity, and mass adoption. To learn more about BitCash, visit www.choosebitcash.com. Today, we will be speaking with Nako Imbele. Nako started her career in the marketing analytics space. She has over 15 years of experience in the technology sector and has held roles in business development, strategy, sales, and marketing analytics. She is the founder and CEO of FinTech Recruiters and started the firm to meet the growing demand for experienced financial technology professionals with specialized knowledge complementary to FinTech. She enjoys connecting job seekers with careers that disrupt the FinTech, blockchain, and crypto startups. Let's talk with Nako. Nako, thank you so much for making the time to join us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Really excited about talking with you, and always really excited about this first question whenever I get a new guest, just to figure out how they first heard about blockchain, cryptocurrency, and what was that first experience like, and what kept you in this blockchain space?
Yeah, so I discovered it when I had a client. First of all, I'm a recruiter, so I recruit in the fintech space. And so, I was already hearing about Bitcoin just by the fact that it's a currency. It was a sort of novel currency. And so I'd read about it, but didn't really know what it was per se, right? I just knew it was this kind of internet money. And I had a client who asked me if I would accept it. And I asked him if I can convert it to dollars. And he said, yes. So I said, sure, I'll accept it. And then I had to learn how to accept it. So I had to learn how to set up a wallet and how to, sign up at an exchange and exchange it for dollars. And now I regret doing that, of course, because this was mid-summer of 2016. So it was before the craziness that happened in 2017. So that was my introduction to Bitcoin, just complete fluke. And I continue to love the space and remain in the space because I'm intellectually curious, and I believe that this really does blockchain and crypto, Bitcoin, democratizes finance, which is something that I really hold dear to my heart. So it's something that I think people who have traditionally been excluded, marginalized groups globally, have been excluded from finance, as well as locally. We don't have to go far from home to realize that we haven't been given a seat at the table in terms of possible investments. And let me preface, anything I say is not investment advice. Please, seek professional advice, because I'm not a professional advisor. I am a recruiter. So that being said, I think we're still very early, and I'm still very excited about everything the space has to offer.
That's extremely exciting. And you mentioned that you are a recruiter, and you have a recruitment company called FinTech Recruitment. Can you tell us a little bit about that, how this came about?
Yeah, so FinTech Recruiters came about, again, by fluke. Everything's by fluke. No recruiter ever thinks they're going to become a recruiter, right? You don't go to school for it. Right. So I was in sales. I was selling IT solutions. I was in that space. And I my company moved to back to their like head office. So they closed. I'm in Toronto, Canada, for anybody who doesn't know, I'm in Toronto, Canada, and the office moved back to Montreal, and I needed, you know, to find another job. And I was placed by a recruiter. So I called him up and I said, you know, they're moving back to Montreal and I'm not going to Montreal. I'm staying here. You know, do you have any other sales jobs? And he said, I think you'd make a really good recruiter. And I thought, well, I don't know HR. And so anyways, long story short, I go work with this dude and I'm there for a year and I start seeing this word called fintech. Can you tell I'm an opportunist? I'm an opportunist.
No,
so I thought, oh, this is interesting. I keep seeing this word. What does it mean? And it was still fairly new. This was 5 years ago. God, I can't believe it's already 5 years. It freaks me out. So I went to my boss and I said, you know, I think we should start a fintech division because it looks like it's going to be hot. I just have this feeling because I'm seeing it everywhere. And at the time we were, and he still does this, he's still in business. He was doing, we did a lot of tech. It was just tech recruiting across the board. And we were doing big data, which is still hot. So he, you know, he was right about that, but he figured, yeah, let's just stick to, you know, what we know and what's good and what's hot now. And I thought to myself, you know what? I think I'm going to start my own firm. And wow. So I left and started FinTech Recruiters. And I just can't believe how long ago that was. And I'm still here, which is pretty insane. So I've been in the crypto space for about 4 years, which again is totally bananas. If you're familiar with this space, 4 years is literally like 25 years. It just ages you, okay? And there's a meme. There's a meme about that. It's just unbelievably fast paced and extremely intense, and it's not for the faint of heart. So yeah.
Well, having this fintech recruitment company, you have probably the opportunity, especially here as you were introduced to it in 2016, to some, you know, to cryptocurrency and blockchain itself, probably had an opportunity to work directly with a lot of the companies in this industry, you know, around recruitment. What been able to kind of see that, what insight have you gained from the growth of this market from you know, 2016 to 2020 now, the amount of companies that might have popped up, how serious people are taking it versus maybe how serious they're taking it in 2016. You know, what are just some of your takeaways over watching this particular space grow from your standpoint?
That is a great question. So the first thing is, this is an extremely politicized space. And there are a lot of people who, for them, this is life or death. I mean, literally, like they will die for Bitcoin. They will go to the grave until, you know, they will wait. They call them hodlers of last resort. And they are holding until Bitcoin becomes the unit of account, which means that it replaces the dollar. So you've got a lot of camps in this space. And what's tricky about it is knowing who you're talking to. So you've got your Bitcoin maximalists and you have startups that revolve around that ideology and they only accept Bitcoin. So there are a few exchanges that is just Bitcoin. Like that's all they do. Right. If they won't list any other. And maybe calling them an exchange may not really be the right term. They're kind of brokers more than anything, and they facilitate the exchange of Bitcoin in various ways, whether that's through gift cards and whatnot. So you've got those people, and they started the ecosystem. Okay, these guys, most of them are libertarians, and you know, got into Bitcoin because of what Bitcoin represents to them, and did not think it would get to where it is now. They're just as surprised as everybody else. They knew it would get there eventually, but they didn't think it would be so accelerate so quickly. And I think when people on the outside look at Bitcoin and they think, oh, well, you know, it's been around for 11 years or 10 years. Is it 10 or 11? Let me see, 2000.
I believe it's 11.
11. Yeah, 11 years. Okay, so when they think, well, 11 years is a long time. 11 years is a drop in the bucket for a system that wants to replace our entire financial global system. I mean, you know, like it's a big, big idea. And so the fact that it started at zero, I mean, this was worth nothing at one point. And we're at, I don't know where we are at now. I don't even want to say, I don't know, maybe 6,000 or something. I don't know how much it's worth right now. Haven't checked the price. I try not to check the price every day anymore because yeah. It just gives me a heart attack. but yeah. So you got that camp, okay? And they were the majority in 2016. Yeah, they were pretty much the majority, and they've shrunken, which is kind of interesting because when I got in, the Bitcoin dominance, if you go to something called CoinMarket.cap, which shows you the entire sort of an overview of the industry, how much Bitcoin is being transacted on a daily basis, as well as all of the other cryptocurrencies. And I think they're over like, I don't know, 2,500, 2,600 by now. It's crazy. There are a lot of them. Pardon?
I say, yeah, it's a ton. They're popping up all over the place.
Yeah, right. So this shows you the industry. And when I started, Bitcoin was losing what we call its dominance, meaning a percentage of the market, of the entire crypto market. It was something like 20% because at that time, altcoins were starting to make its rise. And that was when Ethereum was just introduced. Now get this. Oh man, let me tell you, I've been on a wild ride. So I had heard about Ethereum, the Ethereum ICO from a developer because, you know, I'm interviewing people and, you know, people talk and whatnot, but I had no idea. Again, I was still so, you know, I'm not a technical person, so I had no idea how to buy it. I didn't know, but I'd heard about it and it was 33 cents,
oh people.
Yeah, that's how much the ICO was. But I thought, okay, well, you know, I don't know how to do this. So I just ignored it, whatever. Then I found another a client and they were doing their ICO, they did an ICO raise and they raised something like $15 million. Bananas, okay, it was just crazy time. This was 2017. And I said, you know, I'll accept. And at the time Ethereum was $11 and I accepted Ethereum. But again, you know, I didn't learn my lesson because I thought, what are the chances, right? Like there's no way people are not that crazy. So, but I decided to hold on to it because I thought, you know what, if it goes to 100, that's like 10xing my money, right? And at the time, like a normal person, okay, that's a lot to 10x. Like who 10x is their stock in nobody, right? Nobody. Ever. Like it takes a couple of years, you know? Right. So I didn't want to be greedy. God, I wish I was more greedy. And I cashed out when it hit 100, right? Because I thought there's no way it's gonna go up, keep going up. And it did. It kept going up. And so I did make some money on that whole. Anyways, I'm like, this is a long-winded answer. So, but I guess what I'm trying to say is that they're different communities within the ecosystem. So the Ethereum people really are quite different from the Bitcoin crowd, the purists. So what I've seen over the 4 years is that it's grown exponentially and it keeps growing and everyone is coming up with what they think is a new and improved Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. Now, what I'm starting to see, and this is fascinating, is that there are some projects that are saying, you know what, Bitcoin might be the best chain. And what we're going to do because of it, we're going to admit that it's the best chain, but it's not the best chain for everything. because of smart contracts. Bitcoin does not handle smart contracts well. It's just not, it just wasn't designed for it. So there's some ecosystems, one in particular that comes to mind is Blockstack, where they're deciding to build on top of Bitcoin. So they're leveraging Bitcoin and they're using the Bitcoin layer as a security layer and then building their own, you know, their own blockchain, but it's using Bitcoin as the security layer to make it more secure.
Right.
So I'm seeing like kind of almost a 180 in terms of, you know, people wanting to challenge Bitcoin and being extremely successful, like Ethereum. And then now Blockstack, you know, also looking at building a chain, but using Bitcoin as sort of the base. Right. I don't know if that answers the question.
No, it does. It totally does. And you're exactly right. I think that was, you know, you wanted to take the giant down. I think everybody took that approach, and some people didn't necessarily have the success in terms of bringing it down, but they were able to compete, make a mark in the space. And you had others that just said, hey, man, this is a tremendous protocol. We're going to fork the blockchain, which I actually work for a project, which we're a fork of Bitcoin. And we've added layers, like you said, to make it different and to improve upon it. But once again, we know kind of Bitcoin is king. And we recognize that. So you're totally right. I mean, you hit the nail right on the head with that explanation. Now, you know, you mentioned in 2015, you literally just sitting in the office and say, you know what, I'm gonna go do this thing on my own. You know, what advice would you give to our listeners? Now, the question is going to be about crypto in general, but you can take the same mindset. You know, what advice would you give to our listeners who are looking to work in crypto, but don't know where to start? You know, so what, you know, you didn't know where to start, I'm assuming, in 2015 when you decided you're just going to do your own thing. What were some of the takeaways from that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's 10 times harder than you think it will be. And there's a lot of sacrifice. And I know it sounds trite, right? Because everybody says it, but no, it's really true. It's you've gotta, if people describe you as somebody with grit, like if you were to ask somebody, you know, describe this person, and if they were to use grit to describe you, then you're gonna be okay. Right. Because it's not, you know, people, I think, overestimate intelligence. I'll be quite frank with you. You don't have to be that smart in terms of IQ. I think IQ is highly overrated. It really is. You can work hard and do a lot, be more successful than somebody who's smarter, quote unquote, went to a better school, blah, blah, blah. So I think my advice would be to just know that you're going to really grind it out. And you're also going to have a huge appetite for risk. Huge. It's just, crypto is not for the faint of heart. It just isn't. It's, I mean, in the past couple months, those of us who are still in it, it's because you're in it because you believe in it. It's not because you think you're going to get rich. I mean, that's a byproduct. It has to be a byproduct, because if you're in it because you think you're going to get rich, you're going to get, you know, this is a Gary Vee term, punched in the face so many times,
right,
that you're just going to be like, I can't do this anymore. And there has to be something that anchors you, and that has to be a value. So my advice would be, what are your values? And do those values align with the technology or the project that you want to be a part of? Because that's what's going to keep you going. Because I'm telling you, man, like I did I interviewed somebody. Actually, everybody knows him in the space. I actually interviewed, I was very lucky, Andreas Antonopoulos. And for those of you who don't know who he is, he's kind of a guru and you know is an evangelist and one of the most sort of well-known Bitcoin evangelists. He goes around the world. He speaks, you know, to people like me, little fries like me, nobodies like me, and to you know, world stage, you know, Davos type bankers, right? Like he just is just an amazing person and very accessible. And he, when we did the interview, it was February, it was late February, and Bitcoin was over $10,000. I'll never forget it. And by the time my podcast aired, it had dropped to under like maybe 3,800. So yeah, it was hovering a little under 4,000. Just to give you an idea, like this is the kind of space that you're going to be in. And if you're tied in any way to an industry that has that type of turbulence, you're not going to last unless you're in it for other reasons that are bigger than you, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, okay. And the other thing is I would actually recommend, because I did recruiting for a year with a firm and kind of learned exactly like how to do things. And I had a template, right? So I think if you're going to do anything, do something that you actually know how to do. I mean, don't try to, at least that's my advice. Like, you know, even if it's an internship, like get some sort of a blueprint of some kind. There's no point in reinventing the wheel at all, you know? So if you want to, I'll tell you, the space lacks UI and UX designers. And, you know, it's because it's heavily, heavily back-end engineering type of folks. It's gotten a lot better. When I got in 2016, it was a night, oh my God, the UX was just horrible. Yeah. The UI was terrible. They didn't care, right? It was like, you know, a bunch of engineers. But since then, they've realized, oh, right, if we want to get mass adoption, we actually have to make things user-friendly. Right. So if you are a designer or a marketer, you know, or social media, I would say go to work for somebody who is doing that so that you have a blueprint, and then you want to take it to crypto. Because let me tell you, the people in this space have no time, and you can understand why. They just don't, right? It's like, what's your value? What are you bringing? So you have to be the kind of person that wants to add value. And that's just in anything. I mean, that's not just crypto. That's just business. Like what value do you bring? And yeah, so that's what I would say.
That's awesome. you said so much there. I just want to keep chiming in because you just sent some great, really, really, really good stuff. But one thing I want to hone in on was you mentioned the term grit. And that is such a tremendous character trait that describes so many people that are successful. I come from an athletic background, and, you know, it was nothing like playing a really athletic player and playing the gritty player. The gritty player would give you the most trouble because he would just outwork you and outfight you, you know? And it's a little bit of that same approach, you know, in this space, the one that's willing to learn it, the one that's willing to, you know, bury themselves into it. And so you seem like you have that grit, and I'm assuming you do just with the success that you've been able to have on your own here, been around for 5 years, you know, having that grit that definitely takes sacrifice. A lot of times, it is time that you're kind of sacrificing. So what does a typical day look like for you, you know, running, you know, FinTech Recruiters?
Yeah, there is no, well, I guess there is a typical day, but sometimes there are wrenches that get thrown in, right? So most of the mornings I will spend, you know, on email, and I will spend on, you know, following up with people. I'll spend on LinkedIn. I spend a lot of time on LinkedIn. And I tend to schedule my interviews mostly like in the afternoon or evenings. So people are, you know, a lot of people, they're working. And so I'm a poacher. I tend to poach people more than anything. So most of my interviews are later in the day when maybe people are at lunch or they're, you know, finished work, that sort of thing. And I spend the other, early part of the day doing more researching and what we call sourcing, right? Which is, pretty much reaching out to people, email, texting, that sort of thing. Hey, I have an opportunity. And it's also looking at potential companies I can approach. And that's business development, which is the hardest part of my job, is, to get new clients. But with recruiting, I only get paid if I place the candidate, right? That's how it works. So you're selling twice. It's like a double sales cycle. You're selling yourself, like, hey, I'm, please hire me because I think I can find you people. And then the second half is actually interviewing the people. So the mornings are heavily research based, where I'm not on the phone. And I can, do interviews like this, schedule them. And then the later half is mostly interviewing actual candidates or pitching them the opportunity. And sometimes it changes, right, depending. But a lot of the times, I've seen our industry totally transform, where we're doing a lot more texting and a lot more emailing, and it's harder to reach people by phone because everyone has a cell phone. So it's not, you can't call a company like you used to and ask the switchboard to transfer you. It just, startups just don't have that kind of setup. So it's a little, it's a lot more, there's a lot more Twitter, there's a lot more, finding really creative ways, going on GitHub and emailing people. So I've seen my call time go down a lot just because of the nature of technology and how people work now. So.
Awesome. Well, this podcast, number one, has been amazing. Just hearing your insight on a lot of things I would definitely tend to agree with. But before we get off, I just want you to kind of leave one last little nugget out there, for people wanting to kind of get a side hustle or build a business. You mentioned earlier about skill sets and using blueprints and things like that. And a lot of the people that I've had on this podcast so far, they have some kind of skill set that's outside of this blockchain and cryptocurrency space, and they take it and they apply it in this space. What is the best way that you're able to, use their skills? Like how would you suggest they use their skills in terms of being creative or it might be something traditional, but like you said, you had a background kind of in recruiting already, and then you've applied this fintech recruiters, and it's been amazing. So hopefully that question was clear for you, but how would you suggest they best use their skill sets?
It was very clear, and it was a great question. So there's a saying, I'm sure most people have heard of it, that, during the gold rush, the people who really made a lot of money were the people who sold picks and shovels, right? And not the gold people that were looking for gold. So it's very similar in crypto as well. A lot of money is the people who provide services. So because a lot of the projects are open source, almost all of them, there are a few here and there that aren't, but for the most part, this is an open source community. And in open source, there's a lot of meritocracy, because you can completely camouflage your identity. Most people don't really care who you are if you're good. So you can use an alias, you can get on GitHub, and you can look through the projects that you want to contribute to. And if you're a very good writer, for example, and that's another thing, I want to really stress, people assume that only technical people are needed in this space, and nothing can be further from the truth. If you are non-technical, like I am, right, you can contribute. If you're a great writer, there are a lot of white papers that need editing. There are a lot of teams that need people to document. I can't even stress this enough. There's not enough documentation in a lot of these projects, right? And developers can only do so much. If you went to a team and said to the developers, hey, if you're doing a coding session, I'm a technical writer, and I can help you with documentation. I can't even stress how welcome you would be, right? So there are a lot of opportunities to volunteer. And if you volunteer and prove yourself, people don't even have to know if you're a man, woman, black, white, young, old. It's the most level playing field you'll ever find, in my opinion. Because people really look at, what are you producing? What value do you bring? Right. And if you can produce it, they will be eternally thankful, and they might even hire you. Imagine that. So that's my advice, is get onto GitHub and volunteer with projects that you love.
That's amazing. That's great advice. NACO, we appreciate you, like I said earlier, hopping on, taking some time from your busy schedule to spend with us. FintechRecruiters.com. You can find a lot of information there. We'll make sure to link that in the show notes. Thank you again, and look forward to talking to you in the future.
Yeah, can I just say one more thing? So there are a lot of jobs that I don't post on my website, believe it or not, because I tend to go after candidates who are very active in this space and not necessarily applying to jobs. So it's just a caveat, and a lot of firms are like that now. So if you are interested in working in the space, and especially if you're a developer, do reach. If you don't see something that's posted, it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. I've got engineering jobs, quite a few in San Francisco and in Austin. So I'm looking for engineers, software engineers, for those two cities, and they're both Bitcoin, really well-funded startups. And so, yeah, so always reach out if you don't see something, or just, send me your resume, and I'll get my email address is NACO@fintechrecruiters.com. And I guess you can put that in the show notes as well.
Yes, I will put all that in the show notes. I'll link your social media as well, and just make sure that people can contact you when and if they need to. Sound good?
Yep, sounds good.
Thank you so much, and look forward to talking to you in the future. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Blockchain Enterprises. If you're interested in learning more about how to generate revenue streams in the crypto space, or if you're interested in becoming a sponsor of our podcast, then visit our website at www.blockchainenterprisespodcast.com.